Well, here we are. Happy we meet so such a large important number of people. Actually, today, in a way, I mean, the word is not really the right word, but we sort of commemorate the first year of our existence, of our activities. We actually started here, sitting on the floor, on the 25th of November, and it was a very, was an atmosphere of a very small seed. You know, we were sort of putting water on a seed, or in another image, it was like we just had to enkindle the flame that was already there in all of them. So it was a very subtle, tender, and wonderful process that we were living at that moment. So, being this moment being so important for our initiative, we thought of we invited Aurelio to initiate this process of initiation. Okay.
I think last year Joy was here at the opening and she was sharing some Sanskrit mantras coming from the Indian tradition. I just brought my tuning fork with me and I don't know if in Indian music, in a concert, usually when the musicians start to tune their instruments to see what is there in the room, what's the atmosphere, how is the light. So if you permit me tuning, and you see for yourself, actually, just arrive here, be here, what it means for us to be together this Sunday afternoon. I see this as an invocation, or maybe a gratitude for that last year, and an invocation for hopefully a very rich unfolding year in front of us in the activities of Uhu. And I'm inviting you for a twofold process. The first one, to continue this tuning, and that we just chant an Om together. Now, just for an Om, it's representing the unity, oneness. So if you, each one of you, you just want to hold one focus with the sound. And we see how it unfolds. There's no mind behind it. We just give ourselves in a gesture of offering.
Thank you.
To refocus at the center of our existence here in our world. I have a little chant which talks about the three elements in the Madhumandir garden which Mother indicated for us. And I'm not going into details of that. Those three elements are in a relationship of a golden means with each other. This is Madhumandir, the banyan tree, and the urn, which contains the earth from more than 140 countries. Mother names Madhumandir, she said, the center of our being is love. The banyan tree, unity. And the area around this gathered soil from all over the planet, peace. So this chant works with the trinity of love in the heart, unity in our physical manifestation and activities, and peace in our mind sphere. And possibly what can shine through those things. So the first part is about the field of the gardens, the horizontal field of our life here. And I heard that song during a bonfire, which is one of the few rituals we have in this community, where we sit together and symbolically burning this flame of aspiration and calling something from above. So the first part of the chant is the playing the horizontal field, and then there's a strong vertical invocation. And you invite it with the throne of the tambouras there, diffusing everything. So you can feel it in your body, in yourself, and hum with it if you want. Let our fire burn. thy womb of
well, so many things have happened since last year, and today we'll have plenty of time to discuss and ask questions about our aims, about what we have been doing. I just would like, for the moment being, I would like to begin from the beginning, to actually give you the talk I gave last year in this very first meeting on the 25th of November. And for those who have been here at the time, they feel, oh, how much we, how, you know, the way we already made. And so, actually, it's a great pleasure for me today to see what we are doing. So, arriving in Oroville in January this year, so it was last year, it was January 2006, it dawned upon me that Oroville is a blessed environment for something like a university. And I inquired, is there a university in Oroville? It was in the Saucho building, there was a workshop, a weekend, All Life is Yoga. And I was just sitting there and felt, this is a very special place, Oroville. By the way, I had come to Oroville through some sort of chance as a tourist, as a visitor to Pondicherry. And I had a guidebook, a French Le Guide du Routard. It's a very simple book. And they said, once you are in Pondicherry, faites donc un tour à Oroville. You know, just have a look at this place of Oroville. And that's the way I arrived here. So I asked, is there a university in Oroville? And the answer was, no, but this idea has always been in the air. My quest made its way, and I found out for myself what is evident for you, that the mother wanted Oroville to be a place of unending learning, and that as early as 1969, she addressed her attention to the UNESCO, asking Roger Angers to go to the UNESCO and to plead for the existence of the creation of a Université Polité Humaine, a University of Human Unity. She added, the permanent university will be the key to the raison d'être of Oroville. It has to be a leap forward to hasten the advent of the future, a world of harmony, beauty and union, unquote. My experience was that whenever I mentioned the idea of the University of Human Unity to Orovillians, it was as if I were just adding some fuel to an already existing flame, and that a special quality of light manifested in their eyes. There is a deep-rooted desire and consciousness that this university is meant to come into existence. I was fortunate to get substantial information from Kathy, who just joined us, and who had been wonderful in helping me. You know, I was like arriving here, Mr. Nobody. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the history of Oroville. And she actually, there was a Sunday morning after some time when I asked myself, well, who am I, you know, to start anything here in Oroville? And I felt this is a very important Sunday, like some decision, I had to make some decision. And then I opened my laptop, and there was a mail by Kathy with an attachment with all the texts of the mother referring to the university and education. And that's where I found this quote of the diary of Roger Angers that mother sent him to the UNESCO to ask for the creation of a University of Human Unity. And that time, that was the moment when something happened in me, because I felt, oh, this is really existing, sort of pre-existing here in Oregon. So I was fortunate to get some such information from Kathy. I met with Luigi, felt openness, and after many intensive meetings with Vladimir and Rod at the Solar Kitchen after lunch, we were sort of brainstorming and trying to imagine the whole thing. Our initiative took shape to reach out to Orovillians to explore this project collectively. We felt we had to gather because we need your help, advice, suggestions, intuitive intelligence. I am happy to see among us, well, today Anand already can't be among us, he's out of station, but Matthias van Edison is here, who both succeeded in founding Pondicherry-based institutions, Anand at the Sri Aurobindo Darshan, the University of Tomorrow, an inline e-learning university, and that offers a unique Doctor of Sri Aurobindo Studies program, and Matthias, the Indian Psychology Institute in Pondicherry. Before inviting you to present your ideas, well, that was at that time, but as well for today, I would like to share some concerns of mine. I have been teaching universities in Europe and since 1991, tended in France in the fields of philosophy, religious studies, and later I got engaged in the study of psychoanalysis and practiced as a trained psychotherapist. As a student, I was fortunate to have experienced a university with some professors who were gurus, real persons that you would meet and dialogue with, and who literally made you feel move on in a direction where somehow you had already been moving to, unwittingly. It was an atmosphere of experiential knowledge where learning becomes a personalized living process, family-like, natural, a chance to seek one's true identity, almost like breathing a self-nurturing spiritual air. Like in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin, and Sanskrit, it's controversial. There's a word to signify the self or the soul that goes back to a root that means to breathe. With Vladimir, there's a discussion going on whether the An, the Sanskrit An, that should give Atman is really the root. Anyway, but the Atman, 19th century German Sanskritists, they said there's an interesting link between the Atman and the German word Atmen, which means to breathe. Mm-hmm. One has to feel at large in a free space to breathe deeply. I think that a university can grant exactly this kind of space where the personal experience meets with a collective intersubjective experience and the endeavor of humanity as a whole. There is something fascinating and in a sense sacred about university. Ideally, it is totally dedicated to see the truth of things and of human beings as they are in themselves. It surpasses ego-limited points of view. Its space expands to reality as a whole. Universitas means universal, all-encompassing, turning or opening to all directions. Actually translated from the Greek Catholicos, meaning turning to all, you know, all-encompassing. In the sense that Sri Aurobindo uses the word, he speaks of the Catholicity of thought, meaning seeing all points of view at the same time. University is about unbiased universal openness. When we were a baby, we were smiling at the world, happy to discover faces and things, to touch, to laugh, to see them, and somehow utter, wow. That's what a university may be for adults. This sacred space where we reach out to reality and reconnect with some precious knowledge we already carry in us, and that for some or many reasons got blurred and temporarily seems unavailable. A university mediates between two convictions, the Platonic one that says knowledge is mere remembering, matesis anamnesis, and the Aristotelian that says you have to acquire knowledge. There is truth in both. Adults are told by society to be realistic, that's okay, but then let's look and deconstruct the sort of worldly realism that sees man as a rational, fighting and conquering animal. Sri Aurobindo got it right. He says, man may be, as he has been defined, a reasoning animal, but it's necessary to add that he is, for the most part, a very badly reasoning animal. Unquote. So man needs to focus on what constitutes him most intimately, on that what makes a human being be a soul, a self. And that's what the university is about. University signifies a quest for understanding, for vision as liberation from ignorance and delusion, an ideal where we look at, a contemplation, contemplatio being the Latin translation of the fine Greek word theoria, theory. Knowledge has always been metaphorically expressed by sight, idea, ideal, meaning that what can or should be seen, departing from the Sanskrit vid, Greek vedenai, the Latin videre, that gave the German wissen, etc. To know is to see. We came into this world as theorian, for contemplation, said Anaxagoras, the pre-Socratic philosopher. Voir ou périr, to see or to perish, is what happens in evolution, wrote Teilhard de Chardin, the French evolutionist, so close to Sri Aurobindo's vision. To know, to see, means to correspond to what our soul most naturally likes to do. Anima nata est convenire cum omni enter, asserted a medieval philosopher. It is natural to the soul to meet with whatever existing being. The activity of knowing is a kind of birthing. There's this French expression, connaître c'est naître avec. Hence, to know is to be enabled to live with all that is different from me and, paradoxically, has always already been a part of me. When I can see, I can assume, I can accept, I can actively build a bridge between the essence, the truth of being, and the possible way to realize something of it, a bit. But this bit gives the life energy to navigate between the absolute and the relative, to mediate between the ideal and what we can realize. University would open this participatory learning space for this ongoing process, an interface, or as Mother said, an intermediate zone between the supramental and the physical world. Living in this intermediate zone means, in a way, to engage in an unending process of translating, mediating, connecting different layers of consciousness. This alternative university for human unity, of human unity, could be such a permanent activity of bridging over where that what we see vaguely at times eventually gets translated into scientific knowledge. The original meaning of science is knowledge, from the verb skira, to know, and when we know something, let's say almost for sure, and then make it known to somebody else, this in Latin was called scientia fatiens, to make somebody known, it known. It's a scientific activity. Talking about the origin of knowledge, it is interesting to dwell briefly on the language of dream. In the religious wisdom traditions, the dreamlike state of understanding, of seeing a divine message, is often chosen as a way to bypass the mental, to reach the soul directly, whilst it is not encumbered by superficial or illusionary knowledge. Mother's dream of Orville, as she said in August 54, was a dream and not just a dream, but a real vision of what was meant to have, quote, effects in the outward world in the form of a new creation, beginning with a model town and ending with a perfect world. She said, dream, conscious of the fact that, quote, the earth is certainly not yet ready to realize such an ideal. Among Sri Aurobindo's five dreams, the third is about world union. Quote, the unification of the human world as a whole is underway. A new spirit of oneness will take hold of the human race. The fourth is about the spiritual gift of India to the world. He says India's spirituality is entering Europe and America in an ever-increasing measure. And the fifth concerns, quote, the step in evolution which would raise man to a higher and larger consciousness and begin the solution of the problems which have perplexed and vexed him since he first began to think and to dream of individual perfection and a perfect society, unquote. In Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo unhesitatingly evokes the, quote, dream or psychic prevision of a fulfillment exceeding the individual transformation, a new earth and heaven, a city of God, a divine descent upon earth, a reign of the spiritually perfect, a kingdom of God not only within us but outside, in a collective human life. And then he concludes prophetically, but if man's mind is capable of opening to what exceeds it, then there is no reason why man should not arrive at supermind and supermanhood, or at least land his mentality, life and body to an evolution of that greater term of the spirit manifesting in nature. Sri Aurobindo allows for a new holistic experience of existence that manifests the delight, the bliss, I take him by his word, the pleasurability that happens in Brahman all the time, and all that is somehow involved in nature so as to evolve, to unfold in our lives. The university is a kind of collective, pleasurable laboratory of research, exploring the universal structures of reality, of the nature of perception, mind, reason, intuitive intelligence, illumination, enlightenment, layers of consciousness, our body, the soul or self, and social interactions as ideally and really relevant for individuals and society as a whole. The scope of such a universal endeavor embraces all natural sciences that deal with our physical environment, our embodiment in nature and matter. Sri Aurobindo writes, a greater whole being, whole knowledge, whole power is needed to weld all into a greater unity of whole life, a life of unity, mutuality and harmony born of a deeper and wider truth of our being is the only truth of life that can successfully replace the imperfect mental constructions of the past. George Leonard wrote a book in the 60s called Education and Ecstasy. There's something about what emerged in the West in the 1960s with Alan Watts as you know, Timothy Leary has a book called Politics of Ecstasy. Alan Watt, Aldous Huxley's book Perennial Philosophy, that is built on Eastern and Western wisdom traditions. Huxley was convinced of the infinite possibilities in man, and he actually invented the term of the human potential, and then the human potential movement. Now, how can man access this potential? One of the questions at that time was, actually, can it be done otherwise than by drugs? It was a time of cultural upheaval, with John Lennon singing, "You will tell me I'm a dreamer, but maybe I'm not the only one. And one day you will join us, and the world will be one." And I sing it because it's, in a way, part of what we're doing. So the hippie experience was a manifestation of the urge of a deep desire for authentic fulfillment by experiencing an altered, that is, higher state of mind. The mother was very attentive to this critical moment in Western civilization. She writes, or she said, "It's the whole vital in revolt against the mind, but that's magnificent. You get the feeling that if they would just push a little bit farther, they would catch something." But how to deal with the impetuous drive for deep satisfaction? In Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo unravels the knot. He says, desire, too, can seize only rightly by becoming the desire of the infinite and satisfying itself with a supernal fulfillment and an infinite satisfaction in the all-possessing bliss of the infinite. Unquote. Sri Aurobindo, bypassing drugs, as it were, manifested a realistic way when he came up with a novelty, the integral yoga, a world accepting all vital life integrating yoga. Yoga can as well be translated as integral connection. The connection with oneself, with the divine, with the others, with the world, with or in the all-embracing oneness. Integral yoga can lead, as he says, to the spiritualization of our natural activities and the transmutation of consciousness by liberation of the spirit from its present veil of mind, life and body, and to the divinization of the mind, the heart and the very body." Unquote. In a way, the University of Human Unity has started, ideally, with the descent of the supramental as described by the mother on 25th of February 1956, the advent of the supramental in the physical. In this light, we can see the many research activities and centers in Oroville as manifestations of the University of Human Unity, and we can say it is already being going on, so what do we need more? Researchers, scholars, and postgraduate students have been coming to Oroville to undertake specific research on Oroville-related topics in the fields of integral yoga, architecture, town planning, environmental studies, sustainability and society, philosophy and psychology. A German academic website lists more than 100 scientific publications on Oroville, MAs, PhDs, articles, written in universities all over the world, about 70 of them dealing with philosophical issues inspired by the work of Sri Aurobindo. Programs with the California Institute for Integral Studies and other institutions are already working successfully, and they might work as well in both directions as a real exchange of competencies. Pursuing the files of CIRU, I was impressed by the work that had been done and by the idealism, dedication and generosity of its members that is evident as one goes through the minutes of their many meetings and the publication of the CIRU papers. In a meeting January 2000, referring to the then ongoing CIRU project, Kiret Yoshi made this solemn statement. He said, "It is as if it were the world setting up this center. Our perception is that it is as if human beings felt a need to establish on the earth at least one place where the highest research could be conducted. It is not we, a small group of people, as it were, but mankind as a whole that is in need of this research and that has put up this particular small space on the earth, which happily the government of India has made some effort to support." Unquote. The vocation or mission or sense or meaning of Auroville is to be professionally open to the conditions for the emergence of evolution, to make this hastening process of the evolving nature present and tangible. Auroville is this cradle from where evolves and emanates a unique gift given to the world, an effective incentive for real transformation here and now. Does the Auroville of today need more? That was the question, of course, of last year. What would the University of Human Unity add? The genius of the University of Human Unity will consist in finding or inventing ways to ground the wisdom of integral self-realization, or better, realization of the self, as a self-learning process in the collective soil that is Auroville, to ground it by engaging students in participation in the work and process that makes Auroville the experiential home for new, fresh knowledge, to introduce them to integral karma yoga, to implement group work get-togethers of those who presently teach and those who presently learn, and share what comes up after some time of experiencing Auroville and processing its complexity. One specificity of this university would be its freedom from political and ideological pressures. The quality of the way teaching, learning, and research will be grounded in this specific environment. The experiencing of a different learning atmosphere existing between those who teach and those who learn, the teachers being but advanced learners. The university will not be a separated entity, but an integral part of the living whole that constitutes Auroville. It is a part of the multicultural and art-intensive international zone, as Mother described it so lively. We have reasons to hope that the furthering of the university activities and the international connections that they will entail will increase at the same time a renewed interest in the national or continental pavilion. The specificity of this university may as well consist in a kind of intensity that arises when a limited number of truly seeking people will get together in this broad spiritual field created by Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. And again, it is my conviction that the very term university, in its composite form as University of Human Unity, will convey a dynamic force that emanates from the very self-effulgent word university, that everybody understands in what it is aiming at, universal knowledge, supported by some academic structure, internationality, cross-cultural interdisciplinarity, the practice of objectivity in research, the desire for universal communication, and much more that right now doesn't come to my mind and may be subsumed by humanistic. It may prove instrumental in realizing the emergence of the conditions that Sri Aurobindo describes as necessary for the ideal of human unity. Brotherhood, he said, is the major true goal to attain, and to be ready to understand that a spiritual religion of humanity is the hope for the future. More concretely, I suggest, as far as the I take now the text as I wrote last year, we are already far ahead, but still it's interesting to see the process. As far as the administrative structure is concerned, my conviction is, because it's still my conviction, that's why I say it, my conviction is that it should be kept as light and flexible as possible, to cook it small administratively, to be attentive to the unfolding of our very process as a university community, to be much more process-oriented than result-oriented. In the beginning, we might engage progressively in networking, bridging over, putting people in touch, creating a living database, a pool of scholarly interaction and guidance that interconnects the existing centers of learning and research in Auroville and outside. We could establish a list of scholars in Auroville independent of qualifications, to be able to direct seekers to those people who have knowledge and wisdom in any field of study. Instead of faculties or departments, we might talk unpretentiously about spaces or fields or areas of study. And as well, not about to talk about teachers or professors, but to maybe, you know, choose the name of facilitators. We might need to establish a central office. I hope for an agreement with the logistics of the Unity Pavilion that is already dealing with international exchanges, etc. All this happens. As for the activities of the university, my suggestion is to begin with an energetically limited volume of activities, maybe 2, 3, 4 months program, developing progressively specific programs according to the available facilitators. Conclusive remarks. There's a picture of two young students showing Michael Murphy, co-founder of the Esalen Institute in California. At that time, I didn't know that he then had been elected member of the International Advisory Board. But, you know, there's a picture in Esalen where Michael Murphy and his friend Dick Price, they're like hands over shoulder, like this, and they arrive in this place called Esalen in Big Sur in California. Both were Stanford students. And arriving there in the 60s or late 50s, they said, here we are going to do all the experiments that are not even thought of in Stanford and Harvard University. Here we are going to create an experiential field of all these explorations. That, of course, was a different time and a different scene, a different story. Orville has its own history and criteria, and it has its own spirit of collective karma yoga. I'm always impressed by the mother's intrepidity, her divine fearlessness. I quote her, "We are now witnessing the birth of a new world. It is very young, very weak, not in its essence, but in its exterior manifestation, not yet recognized, nor even felt, and denied by most people. There are people who love adventure. It is these I call, and I call them, I invite you to the great adventure. It is before us, for our adventure begins beyond that. It is a matter of a new creation, entirely new, with all the unforeseen events, the risks, the hazards it entails. It is a real adventure, of which the goal is certain victory, but the road to which is unknown and must be made step by step in the unexplored. It is something that has never existed in this present universe and that will never be again in the same way. If this interests you, well, embark. What is awaiting you tomorrow, I couldn't say. You must leave behind all you have foreseen, all you have planned, all you have built up, and start walking into the unknown, come what may. And that is that. As for the future of our project, I felt that there is a call for some, or better, an abundant amount of faith, a faith in the feasibility of what seems still embryonic at the time being, a confidence in what is involved and is ready to evolve. Yesterday, that was a year ago, on the 24th of November, the ashram chose these words of Sri Aurobindo that I feel can as well be applied for our collective commitment. Do not allow any outward circumstance to shake the faith in you. For nothing gives greater strength than this faith to go through and arrive at the goal. Knowledge and tapasya, whatever the force, have a less sustaining power. Faith is the strongest staff for the journey." Unquote. Now, so this was a text of last year. In between, a lot of things have happened. It was, you could say, that like 9 or almost 10 months later, after a lot of meetings, the baby was born. Our baby was born 9 or 10 months later. Was sort of a baby who lies wanted to stay in the womb, and but then, you know, as real babies, when they had their time and when they they come to the life, they are well equipped, they like, they are smiling, they are sort of, they are ready to live and to develop. So the baby is born because since the 15th of September this year, we have had meetings on Saturday morning, trying to explore from the different experiences already existing in Oroville, how we can conceptualize, how we can set up programs, how we can, according to what inner structure we would like to organize and to build up this university. So, then one important element as well in the evolution since is that we had meetings with Michael Murphy, two important meetings, and he was very much, as a member of the International Advisory Council, he was very much with us, very supportive. And this year in February, the International Advisory Board, in their report, said, we are happy to know, you know, I like this text because there was sort of a sequence of, we welcome this, we welcome this project, we welcome, you know, and then they said, we are happy, said we are, yeah. We were also happy to note some further, some future projects of university level initiatives. So this is something we can as well be very happy about, that there has been some sort of recognition and almost there's a movement that goes towards some sort of legitimacy of our initiatives. Then I had happened to have two talks with Roger, and because I was eager to know what the mother really had said about this University of Human Unity. And he then tried to describe it and get back to that moment and said that the mother actually tried to find his own words. Roger said she almost saw like four universities, one dedicated to the physical, the vital, the mental and the spiritual. And she wanted scholars, international scholars, to come to brainstorm, to then deliver their results to the world. She wanted actually this university to be a place of, like a light that Oroville then can spread out into the world. And as you all know, she wanted Oroville to be a laboratory, a living laboratory of mankind. So I was, asked myself, what will be Roger's reaction to our initiative? And the result is that he was wholeheartedly with us. He was really, because in the earlier had been created the CIRU. The CIRU has been created in 86. And it has done all this wonderful research work, had been a place to has been and is, still is, a place to invite for conferences, etc. But he told me that at that time he asked Kirat Joshi, he talked again about this University of Human Unity, and Kirat Joshi at that time was in fear of India's reaction or the universities of India in case of calling this, in this small place, etc., a university. So much so that he and Roger invented another term, Center of International Research in Human Unity. But the idea and the sort of the goal and the l'élan vital of all this is is the university. So that, so much so that for Roger himself, this will be, we will merge in a moment when things appear that way, into one and the same energy. And in between as well, what happened is, one element as well, what Roger said, he said, the mother didn't want to copy things from outside. We are not going to have a university as we have elsewhere. We are actually moving into a creative process where we invent, where we are spearheading. We are, will be on the cutting edge. We will talk about, that's why my, one of my favorite subjects, but I mean, is we are going to talk about what we don't know and what we know. To deconstruct the knowledge we seem to have. Because, and have a chance here to have a free atmosphere, a free space of exchange where we just can say, you know, I always thought this, I read this, but to tell the truth, I never understood it. Or I never understood it completely. So this is a space where we can, it's a holistic space. It's therapeutical, psychological, mentally, spiritual. It's human. The other day somebody asked me, I was in a German pavilion meeting, and then somebody said, oh, could you talk to us about the human university? The human university. Yes, and after I thought, yeah, it should be, this university should be very human. Very, very human and humane. And having been almost all my life in universities, I know it's not always, you know, it's not always the case. So, yeah, we can start with questions. Yeah. Please.
For example, you discussed with Roger and you tell about university of mind, vital, physical, and spiritual. What is for you? And what is your...
For me? Well, okay. Well, actually, yeah. Well, actually, it's not so much important only what it's for me, because it's for,
yes,
it's a common process,
I
yes. But we actually, what we have been, maybe this is a link to what we already have been doing here, since the 15th of September. We invited Lucas, our Dr. Lucas, who was in a way, in health, in the vital. He was sort of representing this approach. Then we had a Tansy from CSR, and alternative energies, etc. So he was, in a way, for us at that moment, representing the physical. Then we had a presentation in psychology, Matthias, and I think even two, Larry as well, both of them. And so we were in the where? Mental?
In between.
In between. And. So then we didn't really have something on the psychic yet. It was planned for today. Unfortunately, Nilti, she can't come, but it would have been wonderful for today to have this in the end to have this direction. But this will be right now. What we are doing is you know, we don't have anything to. There's no blackboard, but right now it's all, this is in a process. It's not that what I'm telling now is what will be, but this is like, you could see this is a core group of people who are committed to work in the university, who are sort of mainly in this, and then we have like a broad circle, like this circle here, like a university group or a permanent forum where there might be presentations, and as well, as I feel it, this should be a space where in a way anything goes. I mean in the beginning. Anyway, of course, we get somewhere. But in the beginning, anything goes. Like, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand, you know, what's supermind? You know, I've never been there, for instance. Or, et cetera, et cetera. So, and this could be a place where we, guests, and whoever is comes, because we are just happy, all happy to know, you know. So this is a place, a sort of this pleasurable laboratory of permanent research. And then, from this will evolve, like petals, different kinds, different areas of studies. Vedic studies, Sanskrit, psychology, philosophy, then all the arts, dancing, painting, music, theater. We have somebody among us who is in theater as self-expression. So actually we felt that to the extent that we would like to invite people to get into a process of integral learning, and that, for instance, if you arrive in Oroville and you have already one or two or three heads full of knowledge, then you might feel that actually what you need most is to work with clay, or be in painting, or to dance, or to play in a film, something. All this can be done, and then maybe come back to your field where you can enter a research group and get into more specific stuff. So we would have then these fields, areas of studies, and then from there maybe be connected to the national pavilions. I do it physically. You know, I have pavilions, and these pavilions could be through AVI connected to the countries. So much so that all the UNESCO countries, we would have a link with all the UNESCO countries, and that we could invite UNESCO countries, I mean the countries through UNESCO, to send every now and then somebody who could represent the wisdom traditions, the spirit traditions, the specific genius of making peace or creating tolerance, etc., of this country. So much so that we thereby would realize the mother's dream or wish that all countries would bring something to Oroville to create, to conceive of human unity here in Oroville. And that the sense of our university would be really a university of human unity, where all this comes together and we are dedicated and committed to this kind of research. Please.
That would mean to keep the picture that we are not only relating to a spiritual center in all our endeavors, but we would functionally need also very efficient crown roads to link all these specificities, no?
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, at that time, I brought it because this is from last year. It's not updated according to what we have already been doing. But this was my first way to draw it. Like, University of Human Unity, then we have all the centers here, Savitri Bhavan, Verite, Indian Psychology Institute in Pondicherry, etc. They all overlap because we are communicating all the time. And then, from there on, have the link to the pavilions, and through AVI International, the link to the country. Now, this is a note that is not actually necessary today, but I just want to finish with this, because because I went into the Oroville archives at a moment when I was trying to understand to what extent really Oroville is linked to this idea of university. And then I saw that already in 1966, the General Assembly of UNESCO at the Paris session held during October, November 1966, states, etc. They at that time talk about the place that will be called Oroville and there should exist, as they say, a truly international university. So they were talking, you know, well ahead of the physical existence of Auroville, they were already talking, had expressed the desire of a truly international university. Then in 69, here from the ashram, was said, Auroville will have also have an international university, perhaps the first in the world established specifically for world unity. In fact, the whole of Auroville will be a living university. And this language goes through all the documents. The whole of Auroville and its life is envisaged as a comprehensive living university, etc., etc. In UNESCO in 1989 says that Auroville is a learning society. And here in Auroville, in the Thiru papers from 1997, they talk about a world university project. And the then secretary, Dr. Swaminathan. He himself asked the Thiru to provide a concept paper for the establishment of such an, quote, international university center in Auroville. And in 1999, Mr. Bala Bhaskar recalled to the attention of the participants of a meeting here that the then secretary of the governing board had requested the creation of a, quote, world university and a conflict resolution center in Auroville. This just to add that we are actually, in what we are doing, in the in the middle of the tradition of, I mean, the right tradition of what Auroville has been thinking of herself and what it and as Auroville has been desired from the point of view of UNESCO, so from the international point of view.
Because there was a kind of conflict, you know?
Well, the conflict...
Why Thiru came in the picture.
Yes, exactly.
And how you accommodate...
Yeah. Well, the conflict... actually, there hadn't really been a conflict. There had only been Kirit Joshi's consideration that he felt to use the term university might create some problem. And then immediately Roger said, but I'm not sure whether that's right. That was right, you know. It was, as he said that, this is what you said, right. And it came immediately. And because he actually felt that this was maybe a prudence or a caution that was excessive at that time. Anyway, this was before. Today, the term university has gained a much broader significance. We have like summer universities in Europe, we have political universities, we have all kinds of, we have Elon universities, we have so, the term university doesn't have only the sense as referring to a state education. So for instance, you have like the CIS, you go on there, they are actually a university, but you go on there on their website, and when you, if you ask, so why can they be, who is recognizing them? Then you see they are recognized by an American, you know, American education something, and by some other university. So, but being somewhere recognized, it's like Stanford. They started, there was a bunch of professors, well funded, and they just started, and they were ahead, and then they're doing good work, fine. Then they're recognized because they're doing well in a way. And my, you know, this is a big subject, of course, but we have been thinking of it very early in our activity here. And my personal conclusion of this, because at a certain time sort of it was really twisting my mind, this thing. My personal conclusion is before coming to the personal conclusion, that in India, the Indian is the university Grant Commission, University Grant Commission. Their criterion is that if you take money, if you issue diplomas, etc., then actually they they want to look, is it a university of a state-like kind? As long as you don't do that, there's no issue. Now, but my personal conclusion is that I don't think that any governmental institution in India will really contest the name of University of Human Unity to the extent that we can say this was the mother's name for this institution. You know, I don't think so, that anybody would really.
I think technically university in India is a protected term.
Yeah.
Which means that it has to be either recognized by the central government or by the state government,
yeah.
And not
yeah.
by the university.
Yeah.
And but the thing has changed a lot since
yeah.
20 years ago, because you have now deemed university.
As well,
so it would
yes.
be very easy for
yeah.
Orville to be recognized as a deemed university.
Yeah.
So if some people hang on the term,
yeah.
I don't think Orville would have any problem of being recognized as the
exactly.
correct.
Yeah, exactly.
University.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is enough academics
yeah.
be going.
Yeah.
Deemed capable.
No, yeah.
So technically at the moment it's not legally such a big problem.
Mm.
It was. Than 20
mm.
years ago, right?
Mm.
Because at that time it was really not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what the reason why Kirit was so, you know, particular about the point at the time.
Regarding one question for you.
One, very short. One regarding topics to be taken up by this new university.
Oh, yeah.
In the Indian press, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, there was a big discussion about astrology, whether astrology should be part of the university. Curriculum, but it is going on. So I mean, that would be in the West very
yeah.
very questionable. But here in India, you can do it.
Yeah, maybe could we postpone the discussion of this topic for another? Yeah. Mm.
When I discussed last time with you, I found to Kirit Joshi.
Ah.
And I tell
him
the conversation with you, and he tell me, but in Auroville, he have university. I tell him, he tell me, Aurobindo International Institute,
uh-huh.
House of Mother Rajendra, and Savitri Bhavan.
Uh-huh.
But, where is the real creation, the new creation, through the Aurobindo International Institute, through the Savitri Bhavan and House of Mother Rajendra. That's all. Voilà. I offer to you, I don't discuss with him, but just I receive
yeah.
this answer from him.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all. But he don't tell nothing about your, what you tell me, but he's just tell me like that.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
maybe
thank you for that information.
Maybe expansion of Aurobindo International Institute, he's the creator of Aurobindo International Institute, he's the creator of
yes, yes.
Agenda, House of Mother Agenda in Auroville.
Exactly.
And maybe some new creation to this part, I don't know. Just
yeah.
I offer
yeah.
to you, I don't
yeah.
know. That's
thank you. Well, I mean, I learned
yeah.
that actually Kirit Joshi
yeah.
is the has been this important personality who created all this, like Saya and all
yes.
the structures here that we are benefiting
Mother
from.
Give him
yeah.
some responsibility in 68
yes.
about Auroville,
yeah.
he helped incredibly
yeah.
Auroville.
Yeah.
It's very
and
important, but
yeah.
I love him so much.
Yeah. And he's of course, you know, he will be an honored member and participant if ever he has a chance to come back and
yeah.
and.
Can I just ask actually for the process where we're
yeah.
going? Because
well.
You presented something, and I think there's six chairs available because
yeah, we could come
back there. I'm not even sure if they were participating or listening in the
do we have
a
time for break?
Just six people. Six seats available here.
15 minutes.
Huh?
And then maybe you can give an idea where
in 50 minutes?
Oh.
Yeah, in 50 minutes we'll have a tea break. And maybe we can continue with questions that please, John.
Yeah.
one aspect of human unity involves the cultural differences amongst Aurovillians. As we know, the village culture is, what can I say, to consider, you know, most of the villagers and their level of culture and so on, you're ready for a university is very, very difficult to imagine. How will that be handled? How will we internally bring our Aurovillians, our fellow Aurovillians, you know, moving up, up, up to a level where this is attainable, they can profit from it, they can give to it, and so on and so forth?
Well, we have one expert in Tamil studies among us. No, I mean the Bhavana, she's the more... But I think this will be maybe at the end of an evolution where we, of something we just get started here. And to the extent that these children and these young adults you're talking about do have gone through a school system, they, you know, they are, so.
It's a cultural problem, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, but, yes, but this is, I mean, we...
Maybe.
But isn't it that mother also said that, I don't know a word exactly, but that Indians are relation to spiritual reality much closer than what we can have.
So
if this University of Humanity is to be something like a new creation related to the new consciousness of home, then surely the Tamil villagers have something to do with it without our mental state sophistication. And this we have to find the way also.
That's a very interesting point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please feel free to.
But most of the people are sitting here, they know the process of the last year, more or less.
Well, let's say maybe. No.
Because you were a core group of four or five people, six people, no?
In the beginning.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know how you organized this to hear the other core members of the
Matthias.
I think what we have been doing since the 15th September, kind of systematically, and before that, theoretically, sometimes it works, sometimes it isn't. Was a process of sharing how to bring the higher consciousness that we aspire for into our specific field of work. And I found that absolutely fascinating. So it was not just that there were these different disciplines, which is, was part of it, but it was also different people. And all of us have been doing yoga for quite a long time in it. And somehow, desperately or enthusiastically or happily or whatever, we are trying to bring that new consciousness out in our mental activities and in our other activities. And I think what we try to do since the 15th of September is systematically share that as a kind of preparation for a university that can actually work with the outside world. So that first we start understanding amongst ourselves in how different and yet connected ways we all struggle with this problem and try to do something new with it. I think that we have had some very beautiful sessions. And actually any time that we come together like this, there is something of a presence, there is something of a sharing, there is a possibility for something new to happen. That real internal unity that is needed before you can do all that external organization.
You know, I resonate so much with what you said, Matthias, because actually, you know, it's actually, I feel that's what it is about. It is like this event or this happening. This is what happens when, as you once said in one of our meetings, it's what happens. That, of course, you can read a book, you can have all this mental knowledge, but when you are together, something more happens. There's something of the unexplored and of the unknown and unforeseen that just manifests. And then it gives a special charm to it, it gives a special, it adds something that we actually all need, or all striving for. It's then an experiential knowledge of what human unity really is, you know. And this universal of human unity, of course, it seems like an idea, a title, and then all this stuff, it becomes quickly very mental, and we all project on this what it might be. And well, the most important thing is really, it's how we do things, the way we are together, the way we are together. Because there's a way to be together that makes you feel, oh, you know, I wouldn't say that publicly, but I never understood this and that, for instance. Just can you help me understanding better what is, for instance, you know, please.
I would like to actually invite Rod, if you can say something, because symbolically you've been there at the very first school creation in Arabic. And I would like to understand or just invite you how you see the university in the context of Auroville and since its beginning, since the first initiation of the primary school, do you see that it's actually a natural step that we're moving in because we brought it up to a high school level, or is there something completely else in it for you? Because you've been part of this process now for here in
Thank you.
Again,
want to remind people of Hebrew, and maybe before you want to go to the answer of...
I think that would be good if I think it's
yeah.
Brought
here.
This is my wife. Finally,
you can
try. Orbit
doesn't
stand
here.
Yeah.
You can get shot. She believes in time. I don't believe. You know that. Yeah. So I've been involved in the discussion about our current project since we started the discussion last year, and there are two terms that I. Often try to inject into this process. One, they're both educational. One is the term discovery. In learning, in pedagogy, in theory of learning today, the idea of discovery is given a lot more importance than the idea that we have some knowledge to impart. And that, in fact, even if we have that knowledge to impart, it's not going to be very meaningful to someone unless they discover for themselves its value. And so we began our seminars in September with the idea that we would be discovering different approaches to learning. And Rudy mentioned a few of them, but he only mentioned about half of them. They were presentations not only in psychology and science and technology and philosophy, but also linguistics and music and art. Mm. And we began, I believe, to really discover from those who have dedicated a large portion of their lives to a kind of understanding that there are quite different, extremely deep-rooted ways of learning and knowing the world. And our beginning was the idea that if we're going to approach elaboration of something called integral knowledge and integral education and integral learning, then we need to begin to discover what that means. And we have discussed at length what that might mean. And there are many different approaches to understanding this idea of what integral learning and knowledge could be. And so one of our central goals, which could be a very long-term goal, could be the discovery and elaboration of integral knowledge and an integral approach to learning and to self-development and ultimately the discovery of the integral truth of our being and our existence. And like so many other terms which we read about, we assume that we know what it means, but actually we know very little because our approaches to learning up until now have been for the most part linear and mental and abstract. And we discovered actually that in our short time here of seminars, we have discovered really substantially different ways of learning than the linear and the abstract. And so we've begun a process, and that process has already started to have meaning. If you look at our website, we have a universityofhumanunity.org website, which in a very short period of time has gathered an extraordinary range of papers, of audio presentations, and reference material. And especially in this area that you asked about, in the area of Orville's relationship with the village community and the environment and the sociological domain in general.
The cultural domain.
There are many good papers already, and we've had good discussions here, and there's a lot of research going on in Oroville in that area. And I think that our project can help to highlight and focus things like that, as well as other dimensions of learning and discovery that are going on all the time. On a very practical level, we began with the discussion about the necessity for there to be more coordination among all the different kinds of research and learning projects that are going on, because so many of them are done within a particular domain and a narrow focus, and no one else knows about them. And so on a very practical level, we can begin to connect these projects, first of all, the individuals that are involved in them, and the work that they're doing with each other, and that has been one of our aims in our seminars, and then to make known and make more accessible of the whole range of discovery and learning that's going on in Oroville. Communication in Oroville is notoriously weak, and so people find out some things and don't find out other things, and so perhaps as the organization of the University of Human Unity develops and becomes more concrete, then we can perform this sort of mundane function also of communication and improving communication and improving coordination among activities that are going on. And then students who come in to Oroville can be connected more easily to all the possibilities that are there. And it has been one of the fundamental skills up until now in recent years to try to coordinate student research projects, and that's a germ, that's a seed, which has already been developing. But as time goes on, more and more students come, and more researchers come, and more institutions are asking about possibilities for students to do research in Oroville. So it's kind of like, to go back to your question, in the beginning when there were 30 of us in Oroville, or 10 of us in Oroville, the question was very vibrant in the air: how does Oroville begin to develop its self-knowledge and its lines of communication with the local community, with India, with the world. How does Auroville become? What are the tools that it needs? And after 40 years, we're still trying to discover and develop tools that will enable Auroville to communicate, to receive, as well as to give information and knowledge and a sense of connectedness in the world, so that we are functioning in the way that all of it is meant to function. And so from the first village school till now, I think there is a general awareness that we receive from the spiritual and mental environment of Auroville, that we're meant to be instruments for a learning process that involves us and where we are and the world that we're a part of. So the University of Human Unity, I think, is meant to take us a step further in that general direction of communication and understanding and meaning.
Is it even to us a discussion after the big break, or is that what would be the prospect? Or should we just work with the unknown and 50
years? We should have a discussion afterwards. Who are the comments? I'm sure people.
It would be better that we have a dialogue, open dialogue, instead of a discussion, because discussion.
Moi, j'attendais le moment où j'avais quelque chose en projet.
Moi, il m'a demandé. Je t'appelle Robert.
Oui, d'accord.
Et je lui dis, tu sais, j'ai parlé pas longtemps lui, mais c'est un enfant très respectueux. Je te jure, c'est ce que j'ai senti. Et je dis la vérité. Et ça serait bien, mais je veux pas.